if you'd say it for real and give your name and address so we have a record of it.
Okay. My name is Pharaoh Baker. I live 1160 East Alaska Street, Lake City, Florida.
Can you tell me when you were born, Mr. Baker?
Yes, I was born April 30th, 1925, at Sneed's, Florida.
And how did you start to paint?
Well, I started drawing, I think, in about the second or third grade. And I never really got interested in drawing until I guess I was about 19 or 20. And it was one Sunday I went to church, at least I was in Sunday school, and I had a picture of on a fan of Samson and the lion. And the preacher asked me if I could paint it, and I told him yes. That at that time I didn't know one paint from another, so I went uptown. I got a 25-cent watercolor set, and I painted it. And he told me they would pay me, so they took up collection and raised $10, and they gave it to me.
That's great.
And then the preacher, he said that I should go ahead and pursue it. So then after that, I started painting, and the more I tried, the more I learned. So then I wanted to, after I had served, went in the Navy, and then I wanted, had a chance to go on the GI Bill of school. And so I went to the VA to get my papers filled to go to school, and they told me I had to have a college education in order to study art. That time I hadn't finished high school. And so they told me, they sent me to Bethune-Cookman College at Daytona Beach to take a comprehensive exam, which I did, and I passed, and it was equivalent to a high school diploma, so I went on to Florida A&M to study art. And there I studied under first Mr. Nesby, and then Joseph Mack. He taught me painting. Mr. John Head of the Painting and Decorating Department, he taught me sign painting. And Hayward Overy, he taught me sculpturing. And the strange thing about it, though, the one was teaching me sculpture, he didn't paint, and the other one was teaching me painting, he didn't sculpt, so they had me kind of cross the fence. One tell me I was wasting my time painting, the other one tell me I was wasting my time sculpting, so I made up my mind. I said, then I do what I want to do, so I painted and I sculpted. And
when was that you went to Florida A&M?
I went in 47, from 47 till 49.
Mm-hmm. That was after the war that you
That was after the war.
Yeah. And where'd you say you were born? What
did you Sneed's, Florida. It's I think it's 21 miles west of Quincy, Florida. In fact, I was born in a swamp.
Did your family farm?
Yes, they are outreared on a farm. And I plowed mules. I carved slingshots.
Go ahead, that's all right.
And I guess I did about whatever a country boy did. I made slingshot and hunt birds and gophers, rabbits, whatever I could find.
Did they raise cotton on the farm?
Yeah, you know, the beginning they had cotton, but I think I picked cotton maybe two seasons, and each day I would usually end up getting a whipping because I couldn't pick it and I hated it, and so they stopped it, and then I was happy. They stopped planting cotton, and they would give you if you plant it, but you didn't have to harvest, you didn't have to pick it. They would planted, and then they would give you stamps, and you can go trade the stamps in for anything. Any material was made out of cotton, overalls, shirts, pants, anything that was made out of cotton. Some kind of, I was too young to know, but now I think it was some kind of program like the Farmers Bank they have now here. A few years ago, the farmers planted trees on their property, and the government would pay them for planting trees. Anything else you'd like to know?
Sir, some of those paintings you showed me of the... One was the harvest time, the man holding open the empty sack.
That one was the sharecropper. And there were no crop lease for, as he was concerned. He had, I imagine, like so many sharecroppers I've seen in my day, they work hard, and at the end of the year, naturally, would have to have the necessities of life in order to survive, like food or clothes and shelter. And at the end of the year, they end up with nothing. So then I named that the sharecropper. Because, like I said in my day, I've seen so many people on farms, and they would work all year and end up with nothing.
What about that picture of the log house? There's a person sitting down there by it?
That is the place they told me I was born, and I went back years later, and that's the way it looked. And I drew it, and I came back to Lake City, and I painted it.
What do you call that painting?
A hero's welcome.
That sounds good. What about some of the other paintings and sculptures that we photographed out there by your workshop?
The man with the sack on the back, the title of that, Lord, make my burden lighter, because so many times, even now, I'm burdensome down with the troubles and tribulation of the world and our society. And to me, it's an awful burden when you try to get somewhere and seem like somebody's holding you back. It's almost like an uphill climb with a load on your back. And the man that is holding the dead figure, it is Pietro. I think that's the way to pronounce. Anyway, it means the dead Christ. And then there were three figures who are the soul searchers, people who lost the identity and they're trying to find it, as I have done in my day. And even till now, I'm trying to find my place in life. Sometimes I often think of myself as, a misfit, because I look at the birds, they have nests, and sometimes I see pictures of fox, and I've seen fox, and they have holes, and then I ask myself, poor Pharaoh, where are you going? You have no place to go. Because sometimes I go to my own, and they seem to reject me. Then I go to other people, and they don't seem to understand me, so I'm at a loss.
Do you think that your artwork helps you to find who you are and helps you to understand
yourself? I find peace in my artwork. I'm not a writer or philosopher or anything of that nature, but the idea is I have something to say to the world about the condition and about our society. And since I'm not a writer or musician or anything of that sort, I do have some ability to express my feelings and my opinion through my painting. As a medium, you know, to tell the people what I would like them to know.
How did you tell me about the shows that you've had? You said you've had showings.
Well, I've had one man show at Florida A&M, Florida Normal at St. Augustine. My work had been shown at Terrell Institute, University of Atlanta, the Whitman Museum in New York. Some other place I've had a show, and where is this? I had one at Lakeland. I think it's Southern College of Lakeland, Florida.
How did the shows come about? How did people hear of your work and start inviting you?
Well, when I was a student at A&M, I was what you call a Mr. Nobody, because I ate painting, I slept painting, I ate sculpting, I slept painting and sculpting, and I dreamed of it. And I didn't go around fancy. I worked all the time, and changing. But strangely enough, my instructor invited his instructor down the jury, the first annual art show I think that the university had ever had. And he invited his instructor, who was Dr. Victor Lornfeld. He's an art critic, an art professor, and a writer. And he came down, and I think he gave me recognition. But anyway, after he had spoken, then I became sort of celebrity on the campus. People who hadn't spoke to me, they were seeking my autograph.
It always happens that way, doesn't
it? And you can imagine what incentive I had after that. And
did you start selling your paintings at that time?
At that time, I didn't have enough money. I think the round trip fare was $3 and some cent from Lake City to Tallahassee, and I didn't have enough. That day, or the day before, or that afternoon, to get a ticket to come home. And it happened on Sunday and Monday. I got absent from leave and came home and bought a lot where I'm living now. So you can see what effect
it
had.
Sure did. And you've mentioned the mayor here has a lot of your sculpture. Does he have paintings
of yours too? Yes, he has some painting, and at one time he had more of my sculpture than I did. And he's been a very, very good friend of mine before he became mayor. And since he became mayor, I haven't been able to see him. Mm-hmm. But I would like very much to see him. But I had a one-man show at the Junior College. I forgot to mention that. I had one-man show here.
In fact, I had two here
in Lake City. I had one at the Junior. The first one I had was at Mr. Palouse's office, who's an architect here. Mm-hmm. And then I had one at the Junior College here in Lake City.
So has the mayor supported your work and sent other people by to...
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. But I imagine that if anybody should ask him, he would certainly tell them about me. If they would ask him who did the work he has, he would tell them.
How do you get customers for your paintings? Who are some of the other people that have bought your work?
Well, I've sold paintings. I can't begin to tell you who all I've sold paintings, but most of the people buy my paintings are artists themselves. I don't know why that is. I sold quite a few here in Lake City, but they were mostly to artists. And I've done some portraits in my day. I did Lawyer Hodges' father here, and I did the manager picture of the VA hospital, Dr. Greer. And I did a portrait for Miss Juanita Moses. She was an electrical cartograph. I guess that's the way you pronounce that, the VA hospital. I did her daughter.
Are these commissioned now? People would come to you and ask you?
They would come to me and ask me if I would paint their portrait or paint their children's portrait or what have you.
Do you work from the person themselves or from a
photograph? Well, I usually work from a photograph to start with, but when I go to finish, before I finish, then I have to... First, I talk with the people of the person whoever I'm going to paint, and then before I finish, then they must sit a while, you know, to try to captivate their mood or their feeling or whatever I'm trying to get out of.
Can you tell me again for the tape recorder the story about Emmett Till?
Oh yes, I think it was in the 50s. I read about it in the paper and I also heard it on the radio, and it horrified me. And I haven't ever been lynched, because if I had, I wouldn't have been here, but I've had my feeling hurt so bad that it was almost as bad. And then when I read about this innocent child being murdered like that, then it went to my heart. I decided, when it happened, I drew a picture of what I thought it felt like. This boy being lynched. And then it came to me, what greater injustice could any man suffer than at the hands of a merciless mob? So I painted what I feel, not so much, I didn't try to captivate Emmett Till's picture, but more or less his soul, the spirit of Emmett Till. And I still have the painting. Of course, it had been handled a lot. And it's been shown. I don't get very many comments on it. And I can see why nobody want to see violence, I don't guess.
They don't want to face it.
They don't want to face reality, yes, that's right. But it's there, and so I painted to let maybe the younger generation see what the older generation had to go through with. Because in my day, I've heard so much of that stuff going on.
Was it hard for you as a black man growing up in Florida?
No, it was difficult. It seemed like to meet everybody. I respect people in return. I seem to have gotten respect back. I had a few incidents, you know, to happen. But when I was a kid, I didn't have any sweat. You know, only kids would have their run-in. And where I was reared, people were neighborly people, you know. You scratch my back, then I scratch yours. And everybody was poor, and everybody realized that. And we didn't have any too much trouble back then.
Has your family always lived in Florida?
No, my mother has, but my father, he came from, I think Jamaica. Of course, I don't remember too much about him because he and my mother divorced when I was quite young.
Do you know when he came over from Jamaica or why?
No, I don't know that. From what I can remember, my father, he was very, comparing the time with now, at that time, he was very educated. He was seemed to have been a very positive thinking man, and he was always kind to me. And I was the only child, and I was his idol. I was a boy, and I guess his first son, and so I was his idol. And after he and my mother divorced it, he moved to Alabama, and I'd cry to go see him. And then when I stayed there a couple of weeks, and I cried to come see back to see my mother in Florida. And so I guess one day he got tired of just running back and forth the road, so he left, and I didn't ever